You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
What is up, Wisconsin? How are you? Happy Friday. We made it. Another week is done. Whew. I hope your Friday is going as well as mine is. We got a packed show for you today right here on the Maggie Dawn Show. I got Cal with me on the boards. Senior producer Jamie going to help me out today because, of course, it's Friday. And so at 3 o'clock, we're going to do that fun segment called Ask Maggie, where you, the listeners, get to ask me absolutely anything you'd like. And I, at least hypothetically, have only 30 or 60 seconds to answer. If you'd like to get in on that action, if you've got questions for me about basically, well, anything, sports, pop culture, you know, or politics, you can email your questions to askmaggie@civicmedia.us. That's askmaggie@civicmedia.us, or text them and just say it's for Ask Maggie on Fridays at 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. We're going to round out the show today, of course, with your friend and mine, Terry Barr, who brings us what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin. She'll join us at 3:30. But we've got a very, very special guest planned for us today. I'm going to be joined by Wisconsin Congresswoman Gwen Moore. I cannot wait to talk to Gwen. And if you don't know this, Gwen is quite the spoken word artiste. We've got a little of that sound for you. She is always engaging and has been doing her best on behalf of Wisconsinites, trying to get some answers as to what Elon Musk is actually up to. There's been a flurry of legal filings and arguments made this week, none of which make any sense, of course, about what Elon Musk's actual job in the administration may or may not be. So we're going to talk to Representative Moore about all of her work to try to get some clarity there and to try to make sure we don't have an unelected billionaire overlord basically running the federal government. So lots to talk about. I'm going to focus our first half hour today on the SAVE Act and also this new legislation introduced in Missouri to basically, I don't know, track women's pregnancies. It's very, very bizarre. But I wanted to start, as I have been as of late, with a few quick things from the news. Just breaking within the last hour, Judge Ho, he is the federal Article III lifetime appointed judge in the Southern District of New York, who had the Eric Adams corruption and fraud case. So he is the judge that is hearing the directive from the U.S. Justice Department to dismiss those cases. You know, the ones that we've talked about, creating all of these mass resignations of people put into certain positions by Trump. So these were Trumpers, very conservative lawyers in the Department of Justice resigning in protest rather than execute Pam Bondi, Attorney General Pam Bondi's, and Deputy Attorney General Emil Bove's directive to dismiss these fraud and corruption charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams. Just in the last hour, federal judge David Ho held a hearing where he took the trial date off of the calendar, but he has, for the time being, frankly, to my shock and surprise, has refused to just grant the Department of Justice's dismissal request. Now, remember, it's a dismissal without prejudice, which is basically Donald Trump's way of extorting Eric Adams into doing whatever the hell he wants as long as Eric Adams remains mayor. Because, of course, when it is dismissed without prejudice, it means that Donald Trump's personal little gang of lawyers can go after Eric Adams at any time if Eric Adams doesn't toe the Trump line perfectly for the next few years. So it was a dismissal request without prejudice. Again, Judge Ho refusing to dismiss the case and going a step further. If you can believe this, folks, I never thought I would see this. I'm going to tell you why this is really extraordinary. Judge Ho appointing an independent lawyer to effectively not just look into the government's claims about why they're requesting dismissal. And Judge Ho, again, asked the lawyers, asked Emil Boe very specific questions, trying to interrogate whether or not this was a very clear quid pro quo, which is what the resigning attorneys claimed Emil Boe stated as much in a memo to them directing them to dismiss the case. Judge Ho assigning an independent lawyer to look in to the claims, the justifications made by the Justice Department for the basis of the dismissal, and asking this lawyer to possibly, looks like, make arguments to oppose the dismissal. In other words, he's got a defendant who clearly doesn't want the case against him to proceed. He's got the Department of Justice, the prosecutors, asking to dismiss the case. But given the controversies here, Judge Ho asking a lawyer, an independent outside lawyer, to effectively make the arguments to the contrary. Now, who this lawyer is, would you believe, everybody? Maggie Dawn has a connection to this guy, and he has a Wisconsin connection as well. The lawyer's name that Judge Ho is tasked to do this, this just happened an hour ago. He is a guy by the name of Paul Clement. Paul Clement is like a conservative lawyer among conservative lawyers. His bona fides are absolutely unquestionable as a conservative, as a Republican, again, and as a high quality, extraordinarily gifted lawyer. He's argued more than 100 cases before the United States Supreme Court, and he was the Solicitor General for the United States of America. That's different from the Attorney General. Attorney General does all the criminal stuff. The Solicitor General does the civil stuff on behalf of the United States government. He was the SG under H.W. Bush. Now, here's my connection to Paul Clement. By the way, he was born in Wisconsin. He's a Wisconsin native, went to Cedarburg High School. So very local boy. I had just finished my clerkship for a Reagan-appointed Article III judge in the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, a guy by the name of Michael Caney. Because Paul Clement had this local Wisconsin connection, because I had clerked for a conservative judge appointed by a Republican president, a couple colleagues of mine recommended that I apply for what is called the Bristow Fellowship, which is a fellowship within the Solicitor General office, which you can only qualify for if you have been a U.S. Appeals Court clerk or a U.S. Supreme Court clerk. That was me. So I applied for the job. I got through the first round or two, got an interview. I think they might have smelled a bit of a rat because I was not a dyed-in-the-wool Republican, never got the fellowship. But it was a really cool process. And again, Paul Clement, by all accounts and regards, a gifted, smart, honorable, conservative lawyer. That is who Judge Ho, no mistaking what his thinking here is, it has asked to look into this matter and be, frankly, the arbiter of hopefully some truth and fact here. So watch this space. Now, on the air, I had said before that I really didn't think Judge Ho had any space to refuse to dismiss the case. And my rationale was simply this. How is it that you would have a prosecutor's office, here the Department of Justice, in this, and specifically the office in the Southern District of New York, but the U.S. Department of Justice is saying, we don't want to prosecute this case. How the hell would you not dismiss a case? What if the prosecutors don't want to prosecute it, what are you going to force them to prosecute? I don't know what the result here would be. Maybe a Judge Ho sua sponte, meaning a judge acting of his own volition without, not in response to a motion or request for a party. Maybe he sua sponte attempts to appoint a special prosecutor. Then do we end up back in the alien canon quagmire of our special prosecutors even constitutional? I don't even know if a federal judge has ever done this. It's kind of insane, everyone. But Paul Clement, I'm going to sit here right now with each and every one of you. That is a damn fine lawyer. I wanted to work for him, not because I personally align with his political viewpoints or because I, even back then, was a conservative. I wanted to work for a lawyer who's brilliant, whose track record of being absolutely at the top of his game was, again, unquestioned in legal circles. And frankly, I love working for people that are brilliant, smarter than me, and think differently than me. That is why I wanted to work for then Solicitor General under the George H.W. Bush administration, then Solicitor General Paul Clement. So stay tuned, watch this space. I will continue to bring you updates because I think this one is just mind-blowing. I am fascinated by it. Of course, I will keep you updated as your lady lawyer and legal eagle, economist extraordinaire here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Whew, that was not a quick thing. That was a long thing, but it was one of my quick things for this afternoon to get us started. A couple other quick things. Apparently, the Trump administration is going to be dismantling the U.S. Postal Service, which has for some nearly 80 years been an independent agency. He's going to bring it under his administration. I just have to say this. If you live in the rural parts of Wisconsin, is this going to go do well for you? Is this going to help people in a lot of very Trump-leaning districts have better access to mail? Is it going to help small businesses? No, of course not. That's insane. Small businesses rely on the USPS for as cheap and as affordable shipping as you can possibly get. All of this thrown into, I don't know, some sort of chaotic black hole of what in the heck is the guy even doing? Does he know? No, he doesn't, because Elon's in control, the billionaire overlord. There are a total of 70 human avian flu cases. That's my next quick thing. Watch this space as Trump and RFK Jr. dismantle the Centers for Disease Control, firing lifelong scientists, apolitical scientists, doctors, immunologists, up and down the CDC and the National Institutes of Health. I'm sure that'll turn out fine for this slow-moving, potentially disaster of a problem surrounding avian flu. In the state of Wisconsin and Michigan, hundreds of thousands of birds have been culled from their flocks because of the avian flu. Watch this space. I got one more quick thing when we come back, and then I'm going to talk to you about the SAVE Act and this insane law that has been introduced in the state of Missouri. Keep it locked, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're all about real news and great conversation. Join this one, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Back with more in just a moment.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're going to want to keep it locked all hour. I got Representative Gwen Moore, the fabulous Gwen Moore, joining me at the bottom of the half hour. And Kelvin, if you can hop in, I'm going to have to reboot because I think I'm getting a little bit of feedback.
Yeah, Maggie, you are having a little bit of feedback. Maggie will be right back. Coming up, she's got Gwen Moore at 10:30 or 2:30. I'm all set on matinee on air time, but that's going to be a great conversation. And Maggie is already back. Look how fast that was. She's not actually already back, but coming up later on after Gwen Moore, we have Ask Maggie, where you can text in or email your questions to Ask Maggie anything you want, whether it's about sports, pop culture, music, anything you want. And here, Maggie is back.
Thanks so much, Calvin. Gosh, gotta love little tech foibles on Friday. We'll keep persevering. I had one last quick thing that I wanted to share with you all, and it is not a piece of breaking news. It is a, hey, you remember when this happened? Kel, if you could play that little cut that we found for all of our listeners, I'd appreciate it.
Putin would be sitting in Kyiv with his eyes on the rest of Europe, starting with Poland. And why don't you tell the 800,000 Polish Americans right here in Pennsylvania how quickly you would give up for the sake of favor and what you think is a friendship with what is known to be a dictator who would eat you for lunch.
Yeah, she got that one pretty right, didn't she? Oopsie-daisies. Anyways, had to just share that little flashback. Yes, that was from the one, count 'em, one debates between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump, basically predicting the future if Donald Trump were to get elected. And oh, yep, here we are. Let's move on. I want to talk about the SAVE Act as well as this bill that has been introduced in Missouri. Let's start with the Missouri bill. This is a bill called the Save Missouri Babies Act. It's an effort that would require pregnant people to register with the state, because that doesn't sound like some Orwellian dystopic nightmare. Have to register with the state, and it will then track people, women, at, quote, at risk for seeking abortion services to, quote, reduce the number of preventable abortions. If passed, this state-run registry of pregnant women would start on July 1st, 2026, and would be managed by the Maternal and Child Services Division of the State Department of Social Services. Now, that is a really good and efficient use of taxpayer dollars, isn't it? Which is one step away from the thing that Missouri tried to do, oh, yay, way back in 2019, which was to track women's pregnancies. Randall Williams, the state's top health official back in October of 2019, late October, admitted in a hearing that the state was monitoring information about Planned Parenthood patients, and in some cases had a spreadsheet of certain patients' menstrual cycles with the aim of identifying those that had failed abortions. So keep in mind the context here. Voters in Missouri voted to preserve the right to choose. This is Republicans in Missouri trying to get around the voice of the people. This is sick. There's no other word for this than sick. Do you think men would be like, yeah, come and monitor how many times I masturbate in a month? Yep, I'll register with the state about how many sexual partners I have, or if I'm taking Viagra, because the state will now inspect whether or not I am, one, able to have children, two, married, and three, if my wife is able to have, like, would men ever permit this level of intrusion into the most intimate areas of their life? Hell no. It is all absolutely appalling. Wanted to share two cuts with you. JD Vance is very close with a bunch of dudes known as the Theo Bros. There's a bunch of millennials that are headed up by an older fellow. Loose conflagration. They're all Christian nationalists. They want to start their own cities and towns. And most of them believe that the 19th Amendment should be abolished. I'm going to get to that in just a second. But let's take, this will be cut seven, on what godly women should do. This is the leader of the Theo Bro movement speaking here.
Godly women want to feed their men. Godly women are designed to make the sandwiches. When women were granted the right to vote, we were so muddled we thought we were giving the franchise to women when we were in fact taking it away from families.
And just for the record, you know, yeah, I think the 19th Amendment should be repealed. I think that because, well, first and foremost, because I'm a Christian. If we had a Christian nation and women could vote, then within 50 years, we would no longer have a Christian nation.
A Okay, first off, that was Doug Wilson, the sandwich guy. The next one that explicitly said the thing about the 19th Amendment, his name is Joel Webbin. This idea that giving women the right to vote took the right away from families, well, that's right in J.D. Vance's wheelhouse. Let's take a listen to J.D. Vance in 2021 saying basically exactly that.
Let's give votes to all children in this country, but let's give control over those votes to the parents of those children. Children are the future of this country, and yet the parents who have them actually have no advantage in our democratic process. They have a smaller voice in some ways than the people who don't have any children at all. When you go to the polls in this country as a parent, you should have more power, you should have more of an ability to speak your voice in our democratic republic than people who don't have kids. Now, people will say, and I'm sure The Atlantic and The Washington Post and all the usual suspects will criticize me about this in the coming days. Well, doesn't this mean that non-parents don't have as much of a voice as parents? Doesn't this mean that parents get a bigger say in how our democracy functions? Yes, absolutely.
That is how a slick charlatan like J.D. Vance makes something as abhorrent as removing the franchise from women sound good. Remember where all of this comes from. This is deep misogyny and anti-woman hate. We now have the federal law equivalent of all of that ideology showing up in the SAVE Act, which makes itself out to be something that's about voter fraud. It's not. It's about disenfranchising people because it's going to require you to have a birth certificate or passport when you register to vote. Of course, as any woman who's gotten married and taken her husband's name, it's a little hard sometimes after you get your name changed. And oh yeah, marriage certificates aren't considered under the SAVE Act to be good evidence of your citizenship and registration. Wisconsinites, you can rest easy because Elon's got nowhere to run, nowhere to hide when we got Representative Congresswoman Gwen Moore on the case. Folks, welcome back. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, if you've been scratching your head about what the heck is Elon's job exactly, your confusion is not misplaced. The federal government on Monday in a court filing disclaimed that Elon Musk is actually running Doge or is even a Doge employee at all. In fact, they called him a special advisor to the president, employed by the White House. And yet, on Tuesday, Carolyn Leavitt seemed to indicate that, yep, indeed, Elon is running Doge. On Wednesday, Trump and Elon appeared on faux news, and again, suggested to the nation that he's running Doge and that that's a good idea, and that, oh, don't worry about those conflicts of interest. I'm sure Elon will self-police as appropriate. I don't know about you, but I don't trust billionaires with pretty much damn near anything. And yesterday at CPAC, Elon appeared on stage and was gifted by the Conservative Political Action Committee a chainsaw. Yes, an odd symbol representing the chainsaw that Elon is taking via Doge to the entirety of the U.S. government. Let's take a quick listen.
This is the chainsaw for bureaucracy.
Weirdo. Anyways, here to talk about all of it and what she's doing to help protect Wisconsin families. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show, Congresswoman. It's such a pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, Maggie, thank you for what you're doing. It's really important to be able to just talk directly to our people about what's happening. Because right now we are inundated with information. This is part of the Trump Musk strategy, you know, just to throw everything at them all at one time and don't give us time to react. Don't know what to react to, what is more important than that, and just flood the zone.
Flood the zone.
All kind of BS and overwhelm us and really take away our resolve to fight back. You know, really, the whole setup Maggie, you talked about, you know, Elon Musk claiming and disclaiming that he's an employee, is because there have been very strict rules as to what federal employees can do, what access or information that they can have to classified information or sensitive information. And he doesn't meet those criteria at all. You know, I'm a federal employee. As such, I am an elected official. And let me just say, I can't earn $30,000, more than $30,000 beyond my taxpayer funded salary. And yet you have a man that just the other day, somehow, I don't know who granted, you know, he had fired everybody. So I don't know how he got granted a $38 million contract. But you would not be able to be an employee of the United States and get a $38 million contract. That would be a conflict of interest. So that's why they needed to say he wasn't an employee. But if he's not an employee, how in the hell did he get access to your Social Security number?
And my tax information. Like,
your tax information, your bank account number, you know, how can he get into the FBI records and make recommendations as to who should be fired and who shouldn't? You know, how?
Well, and I think
Congress lead the effort to fire all of the protections for nuclear facilities.
Yeah, oops.
All those employees got fired. If he's not an employee, who is Elon Musk?
Right. That's what inquiring minds want to know. And Congresswoman, your point about this most recent contract is one that is incredibly well placed, in my opinion. Let's think, everybody, like, forget the partisanship here. The idea that a man who has been empowered by our president to decide who gets to keep their job in the federal government and who gets fired. Do you think if you're the person or persons in whatever branch of the federal government, let's say it's NASA, right, who's evaluating what should be a competitive bidding process, and you've got Musk, SpaceX, and some other companies, maybe it's Boeing or whomever, bidding for a contract, do you think that there might be some pressure on public employees to select Musk's company if the guy can fire whomever he wants? That's just at a tiny little microscopic level. But it's the reason, Congresswoman, that we have conflict of interest and ethics rules. And he's violating all of them every day to the tune of 20 plus billion a year in federal contracts.
Exactly. And it's also compromising our national security. You know, Maggie, I want to take you back to the last days, the beginning days of this new Congress, when we had to pass a continuing resolution to keep the government open. There was an agreement made between Mike Johnson and Hakeem Jeffries. It was just about to go to the floor, and Elon Musk and Donald Trump jumped in and stopped it. You know, Trump's headline for that was that he wanted us to raise the debt limit. But what really happened behind the scenes is that Elon Musk was able to remove a provision in that bipartisan legislation that said that they would limit the ability of American companies to interface with Chinese on high tech platforms. Now, who has their Tesla factory half of their work done in China?
Who is that Elon, Congresswoman?
Do you know? I'll give you a hint. You know, they're kind of like the Three Musketeers. And yeah, let me say this.
Please.
While there's this big hoopla among Republicans, you know, about, oh, we don't want to fall, you know, into the hands of the Chinese, and oh, we're going to raise tariffs on the Chinese, and oh, we got to have a committee on to the Chinese Communist Party. Elon Musk is thick as thieves with the Chinese, with his high-tech industry, and that provision was removed. And not only that, we got, you know, all these Republicans who have been against Putin for as long as I have been alive, and I'm 73, all of a sudden, Putin is some sort of hero, and Zelensky, President Zelensky, is an aggressor. I mean, we got China and Russia. Used to be national security threats.
Yeah.
And now Elon Musk and President Trump are chumming up to them. So number one, our personal information is compromised. Our national security is compromised. And our ability, you know, to govern is compromised because number three, Republicans are radio silent. You know, they're so terrified of Donald Trump, and perhaps they ought to be, because they can go into your personal data, for example, and they can just make up some IRS problem that you have and give you and create a problem for you now that they've got access to all that information, which previously had been a crime to access. Would have, you know, been a $5,000 penalty and 5 years in prison. And so, you know, don't play, Maggie. I don't want people to be April Fools here. Right. Here in Wisconsin, we got an election coming up April 1st for Supreme Court Justice. And, you know, I just don't want people to play games about, well, you know, what about this and what about that? You know, I'm going to tell you, one of the candidates who's run, he's a perennial runner, a shimmel. He runs and runs. He was the attorney general previously. He's a persistent loser. So it's hard for him to raise money. And he just recently exclaimed that he would get on his knees and beg money to win this race. And so who heard that?
Yes.
Elon
All of
Musk.
Us, yes. And he gave.
Elon Musk is getting involved with his campaign for somebody who believes in our, 1848 law against abortions. Yes. Somebody who will do whatever the... You see that call from Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, you're busy. You're doing got to keep it going. Now, Congresswoman, I wanted to ask you about one other key thing. The House Budget Committee has voted to seek at least $880 billion in mandatory spending cuts, and they've directed those cuts to be made by the House Energy and Commerce Committee. For anybody that knows anything about how the House Energy and Commerce Committee works, this is effectively the committee that oversees Medicaid, which means we're looking at an enormous cut to Medicaid. I know for a fact, because a listener sent me the email, they complained to Senator Ron Johnson's office, and he lied to them in response and said that there are no proposed cuts to Medicaid, when he knows damn well that is a big fat lie. We're going to have to go a lot of love. It's one of my favorite poems from you, Congresswoman. We may get time to play that, but I wanted you to respond to these cuts to critical programs, veterans benefits, Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid that Doge and Trump and our billionaire overlords are proposing that are going to hurt Wisconsin families.
Well, you know, what Johnson will say is that he was technically correct. Because the only thing the budget committee was authorized to do was to set the framework for each committee. And what they did is they didn't say cut Medicaid. They said, Energy and Commerce Committee, you got to cut $880 billion. Now, what is the jurisdiction of the Energy and Commerce Committee? Medicaid, some of those Inflation Reduction Act things that provided the prescription drug coverage for seniors at only $65 a month for insulin. But most of it, like $880 billion, is more than the federal contribution to Medicaid. Mm. So clearly, they're planning on cutting the benefit. You know, don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining.
That is exactly what's going on. They think Wisconsinites and Americans are dupes.
Right. They think we're stupid. You know, 800, and just like in my committee, the Ways and Means Committee, those budget instructions say increase the deficit by $4.5 trillion. The $4.5 trillion in brand new tax breaks that brand they want to spend, it lines right up with that instruction. It hasn't happened yet, but it's on its way to happening. Good news is that we still have time to fight, because you see some of these town hall meetings in
people
Republican
are upset.
Districts,
yes,
where people are showing up and showing out. Because in fact, Medicaid is not just about taking care of some little snotty-nosed kid in the inner city. No, Medicaid is the primary care that your grandmother is getting when she's in the nursing home.
Yes.
You know, we don't want grandma laying in her waist for 8 hours because they're understaffed because Medicaid has been cut. It's how Uncle Joe gets his ride to get his dialysis treatment. We don't want them to decide on the state level, well, we just can't afford giving people rides. And even though your chair time is 4 a.m., you're going to have to figure out how to get here on your own.
Folks, I mean, that is Congresswoman Gwen Moore. Can you stick around for another segment, Congresswoman?
Sure.
Oh, my goodness. We're going to be back with Congresswoman Gwen Moore, Wisconsin's very own firebrand, protector of Wisconsin families, protector of veterans, Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid benefits. We might even hear do a little spoken word when we come back right here on The Maggie Dawn Show on this, your Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy Friday. I know my Friday's happy because I get to talk to Congresswoman Gwen Moore, fighter for families here in Wisconsin and across these United States. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show, Congresswoman. I really appreciate you sticking around for another segment. Please apologize to your staff if I'm overstepping my bounds on your time a little bit, but I know Wisconsinites want to hear more from you. We were talking about the thinly veiled attempts and objectives of Donald Trump, Doge, and the entire MAGA cult to cut benefits that are essential for working families and for rural families, whether we're talking about the proposal to basically bring the post office within the administration's purview, the cuts to Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, veterans benefits, the gutting of staff at VA hospitals, right? All of these things, they always have some sort of veneer of reasonable sounding excuses about why this is actually really good for middle class Americans. What do you want Wisconsinites to think about and know? Where should they be looking to get to the truth of the matter on these things?
Well, you know what? That's a really good question, Maggie, because I think, you know, what the Trump administration is relying on is for these to break things really quickly and for people not to be able to feel the impact right away and let them get away with it. And then otherwise it'll be too late. You take our farmers, for example, you know, there aren't many farms in Milwaukee, but I had the opportunity the other day to sit with some restaurateurs and farmers and the connection that that makes. And they are extremely concerned about climate change. Mm. I mean, these farmers are forced to change the date that they plant stuff and that they harvest stuff because of climate change. And they've been trying to work with the science and reduction of fossil fuels to do it. You know, and yet still, you know, the Trump agenda is to increase fossil fuels, and that is hurting farmers.
Yes, ma'am.
It is hurting farmers, day-to-day farmers. And the cuts we've talked about, we haven't even talked about the cuts to USDA. These farmers have made tremendous investments in order to get the farms going. You know, and you know, my granddaughter once told me, she knew where food came from. It came from pick and save. No, it doesn't. And the place where the food comes from is in peril. Yes. When they cut off USAID, some of our farmers, you know, they grow good old soybeans. Where are those soybeans going?
Yeah, I was talking to Congressman Pocan earlier this week, and he said something north. It's like 75 to 80% of soybean production from the state that comes out of our state family farms is bought by USAID. It is going to be crippling to our farmers and our family farms. I wanted to ask you, Congresswoman, you literally, I'm going to say, invited yourself into Speaker Mike Johnson's office last week. Thank you for doing so. What did Mike Johnson have to say about Elon's undefined weird role, accessing all kinds of information, slashing jobs with willy-nilly, firing nuclear scientists that we actually need? What did he have to say in all this?
Well, it was the most alarming thing that I was afraid he would say. Mm. He does not know what he's doing. And, you know, we know all of this stuff about who has standing in court and who doesn't have standing in court. And judges, our last resort, it appears, having a hard time holding that wall together. You know, I'll tell you who does have standing. The Speaker of the House of Representatives, Mike Johnson, that's who has standing. He's the person that could go and say, you are undoing works of the House of Representatives.
To stand up for his branch of government.
What about the institution?
Yes.
He wouldn't want Democrats to do this. You know,
he's going
to
go down in infamy. Absolutely.
You know, and so I marched in there. Because I heard that the Secretary of the Treasury was going to be there, a person who was allowing all kinds of crimes to be committed. Yes. I was misquoted as saying that they, you know, that they're, this is a grab for power. No, these are crimes that are being committed. And to ask him what was going on, he said he did not know. Mm. You know, and, you know, there's none so blind as he who will not see. And this is what is frightening to us. And so I'm sitting there waiting on the two or three Republicans to get some spine.
Yes.
And for some of those people who are listening to their constituents say, look, you cannot just ruin the crops. You cannot, you know, my child is one of the 18,000 people in Wisconsin that's losing their federal job, you know. It's not just people in Washington, D.C. and Virginia and Maryland.
That's right.
You know, it's all over the country. You know, I'm the child. I'm the person that has suffered, you know, with my mother-in-law with Alzheimer's. And just as they were coming up with breakthroughs, you cut off the funding.
You cut off the money. It's going to hurt regular people. You know, and that delay effect.
No matter who you are. Nobody has enough money to negotiate diseases where they won't have the benefit of American resources. You know, you know, our farm is going broke because won't reimburse me with the USDA. Head Start. That's one of the things that has kept making America great again. Let's start with feeding the kids.
When are you coming back, Congresswoman? Because we need more time to address all of these things. Thank you for all of your work on behalf of Wisconsinites. I appreciate you. I'm going to play Congresswoman's poem about Rojo, who's got to go, who's one of the biggest liar, pants on fires, after the top of the hour. Thank you, Congresswoman. Have a great weekend. Keep up the good work. Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. We're going to take care of news, weather, and sports, and I'll be back with a little Ask Maggie and a poem from our very own Gwen Moore, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.